Venerable sisters and dear parishioners, on this great feast of Corpus Christi, I just couldn't help but notice a couple of happy natural coincidences. And first of all, that we have a sunny day after the rain that we had earlier this week. And as somebody remarked to me earlier, have you ever remembered it raining on Corpus Christi? And I have to honestly say, I can't remember. It's as though nature itself, the sun, wants to shine down on this glorious celebration of this greatest gift that we have received of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, tomorrow, I believe, is the longest day of the year, so you might say that, you know, it's going to be shining the longest at this time of the year again. Just a happy coincidence as we honor our Lord today in this great sacrament. I wanted to connect Corpus Christi with our parish patron, or rather I should say connect St. Michael to the Holy Eucharist. And every parish has its own special patron. And in the providence of God, we have been called to a parish which is dedicated to St. Michael, which means that as parishioners, as members of this parish, we should try to have a special devotion to him as our patron. I remember when we moved here in 1978, I was thinking maybe the name will be changed, you know, kind of the, you know, under new management kind of idea, but no, it stayed the same. So why St. Michael? Well, the original mission founded by the Jesuits over here on Palmer Road was St. Michael's mission. So they were inspired to put this area under the patronage of St. Michael. And as we know, he's the leader of all the angels. He led them in that great battle. He is called Prince of the Angels. And how do we imitate him? How do we emulate his virtues? After all, we can't read about him in a history book like some saint in the flesh and blood. As we know, St. Michael has no flesh and blood. He's a pure spirit. But nevertheless, from what Scripture tells us, what private revelation tells us, and what just contemplation will tell us, that there are indeed virtues for us to imitate and practice. His strength, his courage, his standing up for God, his perfect fidelity to God, his charity, his obedience, everything that God wants him to do, even what our Blessed Mother wants him to do, he does it perfectly. The humility of Saint Michael. Remember, what was the sin of Lucifer and all the fallen angels? Pride. They did not want to submit to God. Saint Michael, in his humility, says, "Who is like unto God?" In other words, we dare not oppose Almighty God. His very name, Quis Mikael, who is like unto God. So right there, we have seen several virtues that we can practice in imitation of our parish patron, of the patron of this whole institute here, Mount St. Michael. He's also patron of our convent, of our rectory, of our school, all of our operations. So let's always try to be more aware of St. Michael and grow in that devotion to him. In God's providence, we have been placed here. So this is the will of God that we have a special devotion to St. Michael. Now, how does this apply? How can we connect St. Michael and indeed all of the angels to the Feast of Corpus Christi? Well, I found an excellent article explaining some aspects of this and would like to share them with you on this great feast. The article begins by saying, We are called upon to worship the unseen God. And fortunately, God has given to us the angels to help us in our worship. Now, think of your guardian angel that's with you right now. He's with you 24/7, every second of your life. You and your guardian angel worship the same God, except that your angel, our angels, worship God face to face. They see him in the fullness of his glory. And we cannot do that in this life. First of all, we wouldn't be able to sustain the beatific vision. It would cause us to die on the spot. It would overwhelm us. And besides, that's the reward that's awaiting us in heaven, to see God face to face. So we can't do that. So what we should do is ask our angel to help us to worship God. Again, our angel does it face to face. We have to do it by faith. First of all, the God who is present everywhere spiritually, but also we need faith to worship him in the Holy Eucharist. Because we don't have that sensation, we don't see magnificent light coming from the tabernacle or from the sacred host. But we have our angel to help us. And one thing that we could use to help us in our adoration is to think of what our angel is like here in the chapel whenever we come in. You know, we can unfortunately enter in a very unrecollected state, you know, sometimes be more, you know, kind of be concerned, where am I going to find a place to kneel and sit? Our angel, if we could see him, he bows down in the lowest adoration before Almighty God. And he has this attitude of utter prayer, devotion, reverence. When the angel of Portugal appeared to the three Fatima children, he and gave them their first Holy Communion, he bowed his forehead to the ground. So there's an image that we can use when we are privileged to step through those doors. Our angel is right with us, and let us ask him to help us worship God a little bit more worthily. And then we see references to St. Michael and the angels in the Mass. In the Confiteor, I confess to Almighty God, to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to St. Michael the Archangel. The Church wants us to confess our sins to St. Michael and to all of the angels, or all the saints and angels, after, of course, we've confessed them to God and to our Blessed Mother, and then ask them to pray to God for us. And then the Gloria occurs in most Masses. That is the very words the angels used on Christmas night. Glory to God in the highest. So we are joining with the angels and using their very own words. At the end of the, during the offertory, the priest, or in the offertory, the priest will say, may these in today's Mass, with the blessing of the incense, we invoke St. Michael and the blessing of the incense. He is seen as the angel standing at the right hand of the altar. He is present at the Mass, in other words, in a very special way, because he's invoked and honored in that role. We are going to recite three times, Sanctus, 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 the Lord God of hosts. Again, a reference to the angels. And then in the canon, the angel is asked to take this offering, this oblation, up to God. And this all leading, of course, after to the moment of Holy Communion. And this is where we and our angel and even St. Michael have a tremendous difference. Because St. Michael and the angels do not have a body, they can never, ever receive Holy Communion. Now, there's a thought to really ponder. How much God loves us. In a sense, he loves us in that regard. He loves us more than he loves the angels who were faithful to him. Because that is something they cannot do. It's only in this life with our body that we can receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity. The angels cannot commit sin, but if they could envy us, there it would be. Imagine your angel right next to you. During Mass, he's facing forward and adoring the blessed, adoring our Lord. But after you receive Holy Communion, your angel turns to you and he's adoring our Lord inside of you. In the liturgy, the Holy Eucharist is called the bread of angels or the angelic bread. Why do we call it that? They cannot receive it. But St. Thomas gives us an explanation. Christ himself is contained in this sacrament, not under his proper species, but under sacramental species. Consequently, there are two ways of eating spiritually. First, as Christ himself exists under his proper species, and in this way the angels eat Christ spiritually, inasmuch as they are united with him in the enjoyment of perfect charity and in clear vision, not by faith, and are united with him here. So, St. Thomas says the angels partake of God in a spiritual way, through being with him, through seeing him face to face. So in that sense, he is called the bread of angels. In another way, one may eat Christ spiritually as he is under the sacramental species. And this is, of course, what we do. The angels cannot. And therefore, although the angels feed on Christ spiritually, yet it does not belong to them to eat this sacrament spiritually. Consequently, man is said to eat the bread of angels because it belongs to the angels to do so first and principally, since they enjoy him in his proper species, and secondly, it belongs to men who receive Christ under this sacrament. So a bit of a complex theological explanation, but I think we were able to grasp the main idea there. So this is our wonderful privilege to have our Lord this close to us and to be so close to us that, as our Lord said in the gospel for today, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. In a sense, when we have those 15 minutes of Holy Communion, which is our estimate of how long our Lord stays within us, it's like two pieces of wax melting together. That's our union with our Lord, that closely. And it's something that he wants. One thing that we always need to work on, my dear brethren, is trying to make ourselves worthy as possible. We will never be worthy enough, strictly speaking. But let us never, ever approach Holy Communion without proper preparation. First of all, we know we must be in the state of grace. Whoever eats or drinks unworthily is guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. We must cleanse ourselves from serious sin, do so in confession, of course, before. That's a law, there's a divine law in the law of the church to make sure we're in the state of grace. But we don't want to just say, oh, I'm free of sin, a serious sin, and I have fasted 3 hours from food. No, we have to have a very, have to have a proactive preparation. What about cleansing our souls of all the venial sins? Yes, we can receive Holy Communion even with venial sin in our soul, but let's make active contrition, acts of faith, acts of repentance, use holy water when we come inside. All of these will help cleanse the venial sins from our souls so that we are not welcoming our Lord into a house of dusty and broken furniture. You know how it is, if a king were to come to your house, you would spend days preparing your house out of respect and love. Well, let's have that an effort there to prepare the house of our soul for this inestimable privilege. Yes, human nature tends to get used to it, but we will not allow ourselves to ever get into a ho-hum routine when it comes to the Blessed Sacrament. Again, ask your angel and ask St. Michael to help you in your devotion, and you will always find yourself growing in your awareness and love and respect for the most blessed sacrament of the altar. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.